Everybody in this, who in this room, let me ask it the opposite way. Who in this room does not have a cell phone? Who does not have a cell phone? Nothing to be embarrassed about. Who does not have a cell phone with them this morning? Has everybody got a cell phone? Not with you? Okay, if you, who does not have a cell phone with them in service this morning? How many of you got? Hold up some hands. I got a few here. Here, I want you to just at random, Heath, if you'll help me, sir, give these to the people that do not have cell phones. You can have those. They're a gift. I'd give everybody one, but that's the last three that we have. But I want you to hold on to those for just a little bit. You'll need them towards the end of the service. If you got your cell phone, I want you to keep it handy. Actually, you could go on your cell phone right now, because we're on Facebook Live. You can go and share the Facebook Live of our service and connect with all your friends, and it will help to spread the service and the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ all around the world, and maybe even Bluefield. Who knows? But anyway, we want you to join us this morning by Facebook Live, or help people to join us. This morning, go ahead and bring up my PowerPoint if you would, guys, upstairs. This morning, I want to take you in Scripture to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5. And as we go to Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to be reading a little bit unusual for me. I typically always use the New International Version for the purpose of just being consistent as much as anything. Plus, the New International is one of the most commonly read English versions of Scripture. But this morning I'm going to be reading from the New King James Wording. And in the New King James Wording, the Scripture says, "For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light." I want you to underline that. Whatever makes manifest is light. "Therefore," he says, "awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk," or because of this, "see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Father, we thank you for this service this morning, and we just believe that you're just going to minister to us with your word and through and by the working of the Holy Spirit in this place today. And we give you glory and praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to reread the Scriptures to you, but I'm going to read them out of the New International Wording, which I don't have prepared to show you on the overhead. But in the New International, the wording goes like this. "It is shameful even to mention that what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, 'Wake up, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine in you.' Be very thankful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Every one of us in this room are traveling a pathway. We are traveling a pathway of time. Time is an amazing thing. Sister Sarah and I went and we went out to Pigeon Forge last weekend, and we went to Dollywood, and we went into the auditorium there to listen to some music. It's Gospel Music Month, or it was in October out there. So we're sitting in this big auditorium, and it's on a Friday. And of course, it's a weekday, and children are back in school. And we're actually listening to a group of younger people, gospel artists, and like third generation, and you know, they're young enough we could almost be their grandparents. But we're looking around. I'm looking around this auditorium with some 3,000 people in it, and I lean over to my little loving wife, and I say to my little loving wife, You ever notice how old everybody is in this building? I'm glad we're not that old. We're not that old, are we? She said, I'm afraid we are. You know, because when we begin to think about time, and time's changed a whole lot of things. Just in 3 years, you know, I look back some pictures of when we first came here. Guess what? Some of you all have changed in 3 years. You really have. And needless to say, probably so I am. So I have I, and I know many of you are probably thinking, yeah, you must have found the fountain of youth somewhere. But time happens. Time occurs. 60 times every minute. 60 times every minute. 60 minutes every hour. I want you to think about that. 60 times every minute, the clock ticks. 60 times every hour, a minute spans off. 1,440 minutes occur every single day in our life. No more, no less. 10,080 times every 7 days that occurs. Totals 160 hours, and we typically refer to that as 1 week. They don't get any longer. They don't get any shorter. Time changes next weekend, and we talk about it and we refer to, yeah, the days will be getting shorter, when in reality is that's not true at all. The only thing that occurs is the amount of daylight that we experience. Time is set. There's only a certain amount of time. You're sitting here saying, well, yeah, but we have to have a leap year every 4 years to catch up, to compensate. Understand that is only for calendar's sake. That has nothing to do with the concept of time, because everything is in perfect order as far as time concerns. The earth spins a certain speed. The earth orbits the sun at a certain speed. The moon, the other planets, all stay in their position. The earth stays on a certain tilt. If anything changed with time in the least, do you realize it would be catastrophic to this earth that we live on? Do you realize if the earth tilted just a little bit in the wrong direction or veered just a little bit off its path to try to gain a few extra minutes one day, do you realize the effects that it would have on you and I? Time. It only happens 10,080 times every 7 days. 168 hours. We call that a week. There are 524,160 ticks of the clock every single year from 11:59 on the 31st of December until the next December 31st runs around. Time. There's nothing that we can do to adjust it. There's nothing that we can do to change it. It's not within our power. So why on this pathway of time, why do we have time? It's a strange occurrence in itself when you think about it. The numbers are massive that I've cited to you, but it's still the most temporary existence that you and I will ever know. Because time is not permanent in this dimension of life. Time in this life will end for every single one of us in this room, every single person listening by EV radio, every single person that is watching by Facebook Live. Time as we know it will end. In fact, time will end, period. Time is only, it's original in its existence. It's given to us by God. It's made by God. He created it. Time cannot be reproduced, and time is unsalvageable. You can't go back from 4 minutes ago when I started ministering this message to you. There's nothing that you nor I can do to go back and retrieve that 4 minutes. There's nothing we can do. There's nothing you could go back and do to retrieve the things that you didn't get done yesterday Are the mistakes that you made a month ago? Are decisions that you made a year ago? There's nothing that any of us can do to go back and retrieve those moments once again. There are moments in my life, if I could go back and do them over, there's episodes, there's seasons in my life, if I could turn back the hands of time. We saw one occurrence of that in the Bible, and of course that was God that turned the sun back in the sundial. But none of us have the power. We can grab hold, we can pull the stem out on our watches this morning. We can go to the grandfather clock or a mantle clock that sits in your house. We can do whatever we want and we can turn the hands back. We can turn those babies back as fast as they'll go. But the only thing we're doing is running a clock backwards. We are not reversing time. We can't do anything about it. It's unsalvageable. We can't regain it. It can't be purchased. You can't buy time, although there's a cliche about that. You can't buy time, you can't return time, and you can't exchange time. The worth of time can only be found, listen to this. The Lord spoke this into my spirit. The worth of time can only be found in the instance that it occurs. The worth of time can only be found in the instance that it occurs. Right now is all that we have. Right now is all that we can, all that we can use or utilize or do anything with or do anything about. So it's not only bizarre in its existence, but I qualify time myself as one of the most valuable, if perhaps not the most valuable commodity that we have. Some of you may have investments. Some of you may have money in the stock market, and or you may have annuities. You may have mutual funds. And you know, I love listening to this. I'm a Dave Ramsey fan, okay? And if you're not ever listening to Dave Ramsey, tune in sometime on talk radio. He's great to listen to. But the, you know, in the realm of investment, you don't lose anything. If you have money invested, you don't lose anything until you draw it out, okay? If you draw it out when the stock market's low, you've lost something. If you draw it out when the stock market's high, then you've made money. And so really we look at things and we say, oh, I've lost money on my investments. You haven't lost it until you cash it in. And sometimes you may have made a bad decision. You may have made a bad business decision. You may have made a poor purchase. And you say, I've lost money. I've lost this and I lost that. But you work hard and you can sometimes make that up. But we can't make up time. We cannot make up time. We don't get do-overs with time. It's a strange occurrence. Originalist existence. It cannot be reproduced. It's unsalvageable in nature. It can't be bought, sold, or exchanged. Time in itself is a dimension for creation. You see, we don't find any circumstance of time until we turn to the early pages of Genesis, and then we begin to find that God says in the morning and the evening were the first day. Time was created for us. It is a creation for creation. Time in essence is unimportant to God. Time is given to us as the creation that we may measure the things that are happening and occurring around us, and we may measure our life, and we may have a greater understanding of what life holds. That's why we understand minutes, days, weeks, years. That's why we know, you know, otherwise if I had no comprehension of time, you know, I'm getting ready next week. I'll be turning by the time that we get here next Sunday, I will no longer be 55 years old. I will be 56 years old. But if it wasn't for the measurement of time, that would mean nothing to me. But because I have a measurement of time, I realize that I am getting older, and someday I may be as old as somebody like Big Dave Lester back there. Someday I may be old as Barry. So because I'm measuring time. I know that because of time, someday I will leave this earth. If Jesus doesn't come back and get me in the rapture, then I will leave this church because time has caught up with me. So when we begin to think about time, it's a dimension that was created and it's been there since the beginning. It's a measurement, if you would. But time is a temporary circumstance. Again, it's as long, the Bible says this, as long as it is day, we must do the works of Him who sent me. Night is coming when no man can work. Time is a temporary circumstance. Today is a temporary circumstance in your life. You cannot do today over. What you do today, what I do today, we got one shot at it. We got one shot at it, and one shot only. Because tomorrow, we can't live today again. Time. Paul was writing to this church at Ephesus. And the representation of this church at Ephesus, let me tell you what it represents. It represents everything that we are today. Because the church of Ephesus actually represented, it was a what we now call a multicultural, multi-ethnicity church. The church at Ephesus, it was the capital city of Rome, and not big by today's numbers, but it was some 250,000 people strong in that city of Ephesus, and it represented a cross-culture of society of that day, and it represents everything that we here in America and even around the world represents. And Paul had a burning desire to see this church at Ephesus advancing in their faith. In fact, 36 times Paul speaks to the church as being in Christ and as pertaining to every spiritual blessing, especially if you're reading the King James wording. So he's not merely calling, it's not a calling of a church, but what Paul is writing to here in Ephesus, he is calling them not to just be a church, but he's called them to be a church. He's just not saying you're a church in your existence, but I'm calling you to be a church in the sense of being a functioning body of Christ. Being a functioning body of believers. And he calls them to be a light into darkness. In John chapter 1, verses 4 through 5, Jesus says this, in Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Do you realize that this morning, because the time hasn't changed yet, perhaps when some of you just got up, just barely in enough time to brush your teeth, to comb your hair, whatever else that you may have had to do to get ready to be here this morning. Do you realize, I realize some of you got up that early this morning and it was still dark outside. But you know what? We begin to think about darkness and yesterday, the storm clouds that came through yesterday and all the rain. Did it rain at anybody's house yesterday? You know? Yeah. And the clouds were dark. The clouds were black a few times. Last week one day here, it was Monday night, and you know, the storms came through and man, the clouds got so black and then a rainbow actually came down and actually turned right down the roof of the church. You could see the bows of the colors of the rainbow coming right down over the roof of the church. It was quite spectacular. I was smart enough on my own not to do this, but Brother Barry taught me into going out and standing in the rain and trying to take a video and pictures. It was Barry's fault. But you know what? Even the clouds that are dark and seemingly can cause darkness to come and even the dust of dawn lights illuminate. You know what? Those clouds do not put out the light of the sun. And just because it's dark right now, it's not because the sun is not shining, when it gets dark tonight, but it's because the earth is so massive when it turns that there are a period of hours when the earth turns away from the sun that the light does not filtrate around it. But you know what? The light never goes out. The light never goes out. It never, ever goes out. So we as believers, we as Christians, Jesus later tells his disciples, he says, we must work while it's day. Now I know some people work night shift, and I never had to work it, okay? I had to sometimes work double shifts and work into the evening, but I never had to work midnight, graveyard, I think somebody calls it. I never had to work night shift. To me, that would be tough. That could be the most boring thing. Although I do know people that work at Walmart, and they said if you don't work at Walmart, it's the best shift at all to work because there's not too many people in there trying to buy stuff. And you can get your work done. I've never had to work at night, but sometimes I have got called out in the dark. And let me tell you what, when you try to work and it's dark, it's a whole lot more difficult. It's more strenuous to you. And it's hard to be. I don't know how these guys that work construction now, you know, years ago you never saw it. Now road construction, they set up all of these big lights. Don't you just love it when you're driving down the interstate or you're driving down the road and all of a sudden you got all of these bright lights and you got these guys out there with jackhammers busting up a bridge at 11 or 12 o'clock at night because its temperatures are cooler, traffic is lower, and it's safer in some sense for them to work at night. But they got to be at a disadvantage. And you know, for you and I, Jesus is calling us, and Jesus realized that, you know, the time for us to work is while it's day. And He's not necessarily speaking that in the literal sense of when it's daylight outside, but He's talking about while the light is still shining into the world. Listen, what we need to be doing for Jesus, we need to be doing now. Because there is a time coming, the Bible declares, that no man shall work. So what, right now is the time. Now is the time. Today is the day. While it's still daylight, while there's still hope, while there's still time, it's the hour for us to work. It's the time for us to work as the church. And then the Bible says, Paul wrote this to the church at Thessalonica. He said, don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you all these things? And now you know what is holding him back so that he may be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so until he be taken out of the way. Do you realize that right now, because of the gift of the Holy Ghost, the light is shining into this world, and right now is the opportunity that we have as the church to be light in the darkness. Because the Holy Ghost is holding back the darkness. If it wasn't for the working of the Holy Ghost, the world would be consumed by the darkness. You see, that's God's plan for us. That's why He said, I'm not going to leave you alone, but I'm going to send you another advocate. I'm going to send you another comforter. I'm going to send you another source which is of me that will fold back the darkness and my light will remain in the world. Guess what? That light is in you and I because the Holy Spirit doesn't come on us, but He lives in us. So we're the light of the world. The church, you, I, everybody else around you. We are the light of the world. I want to introduce to you the smart light. Frank, if you'll bring down the lights, please. Now, you know, we live in a time where we've got smart lights, smartphones. So we've got smart cars. We got smart cars now, cars that can drive themselves just down the road here a few miles at Virginia Tech. Go Hokies. But I want you to watch this. I wonder how many of us have smart lights. Go ahead, Dave.
Uh-oh, can't find your keys in the dark? Need a light to see what's lurking out there at night? Then you need the Smart Nightlight, the solar-powered portable light that transforms the dark of night into light and bright. No wiring, electricity, or extension cords required. Just clip and hang the Smart Nightlight anywhere in the sun. The solar panel absorbs and harnesses the energy of the sun, converting it to solar power. It's portable, so you can hang it anywhere, and so powerful you can see it from more than 1 mile away. At sunset, it automatically automatically turns itself on with three high-intensity LED bulbs that shower the area with light. At sunrise, it shuts itself off to recharge. No batteries to change or electricity bills to pay. The Smart Nightlight works year-round when you're home or away. And it's automatic, so there's no programming or timers. Just hang and tighten multiple lights on gutters for landscape lighting that adds real curb appeal for just pennies. No drilling or holes. Hang the Smart Nightlight off the deck, on a tree, or beside a walkway. It's perfect for renters and apartments because you can hang it temporarily or hang it permanently on fences, outbuildings, and anywhere you want added security. It's also a switch light that flips on when you want it and off when you don't. It makes a great gift for the garage guy, RVs, or lake homes, or just enjoying the great outdoors. Charge it in the sun outside, then take it inside to add light in closets, attics, crawl spaces, and mechanical rooms. It's the most versatile light ever made.
Okay, Frank, if you bring those lights back in. So the smart light. The smart light. If this light is so smart, why in the world do any of us have electricity in our house? The smart light. It does everything. You know, it's solar powered. It knows when to come on. It knows when to go off. You know, it'll go anywhere. You can put it in. You know, it's smart light. It's smart light. You know, it's amazing how smart this light is. This light can do anything. Little bit off subject, but along the same line. I was in Lowe's the other day, and we had to replace some of the commode seats here in Voice of Praise Worship Center. You know, they'd been there a long time. It was worthy of being replaced. I was in Lowe's, and I was looking at commode seats. Man, I couldn't believe what they cost, and I found one that actually has a light in it. Smart commode seat. You know, when you sit down on it, the light comes on for whatever reason. I don't know. But you go figure that one out. Yeah. So we even have smart commode seats. The reality of it is, you know, the smart light. The smart light. But you know what? This light, this smart light is still dependent on the sun shining on it to work. Do you realize as smart as we may be, as self-sufficient as we may be, as good looking like me, that you may be, and you know I'm just kidding. Do you realize this, that unless the sun is shining on us, we will never be the light that we're supposed to be in the world? Do you realize that it's the sun that is shining not just on us, but He is illuminating us from within, and we're the light that lights the world? In fact, we are that light that's called out into darkness. The smart light's portable and it's charged by the sun. That sounds just like you and I, or at least what we should be. We should be portable. We should be instant in season, out of season. We should be recharged by the sun, not the S-U-N, but we should be charged by the S-O-N, the sun. We should be full of His energy, full of His glory, full of His anointing, and we are the lights that light the world. And then Paul, he's calling this church at Ephesus to make full use of every opportunity. Make full use of every opportunity. You see, what that means is, Jesus is calling us to be smart. So in essence, we are smart lights. We're smart lights. At least we're supposed to be smart lights. Now you know, that smart light is really not all that smart. Did you know that? That smart light, somebody has to hang that light up. Somebody has to set the settings on that light. Somebody had to unbox that light. You know, we're sitting here this morning and a few of y'all got dumb phones and some's got smartphones and then I got my smartphone that's almost total loss here. But you know, the reality of it is, this phone right here is no smarter than the person using it. I sat down at Tudor's the other day with a fella and Charlie and I did and some other guys and a fella just got him a new smartphone. And he's sitting there and he said, I don't know nothing. Now, he said, I can't get this thing to do anything. The phone was smart, but maybe, I don't know, maybe it's smarter than he is. Mine's smarter than mine. And I gave him some great advice, a great tutorial. I said, go find one of your grandkids or your great-grandkids and hand it to them and let them show you everything that you need to know. But They, we call them smartphones, but these things right here, they really can't do anything unless we begin to do something with them. And God is calling us. God is calling us. He's calling you and He's calling me. And He's wanting to do something with our lives. He's wanting us to shine through the darkness. He's wanting us to illuminate this world that we're living in. In fact, He said this. Jesus said, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Wow, that's encouraging. He said, therefore, be shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves. Because I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. So we find ourselves in the circumstance. We find ourselves in the situation where God is calling us to go out. We know that. We understand that. He also told, Paul told the Ephesians, he said, for you were once darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. You are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. So we're children of light. We're called to be light. God is calling us out. And Jesus said in Matthew, He said, you are the light of the world. Listen to this. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but they put it on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. I want you to think about what Jesus is saying there, because the truth of the matter is, a light that is hidden really is no light at all. Did you know that? A light that is hidden is really no light at all. But do you realize that the dimmest of lights can illuminate the darkest of nights? Do you realize that? Frankie, I want you to shut all the lights off. Shut them completely off. All the way down. Somebody run back here. Elaine, go back here and cut these off, can you? You know where they're at, I suppose. Get this one up here too. They're outside that door, Elaine. Go out there in the hallway, just to your left as you... To your left. Black the overhead, please. She's lost. To your left.
Behind the door.
Okay. All right. There we go. All right. It's dark in here, right? It's dark in here. Somebody that got one of those little flashlights, turn it on and point it straight to the ceiling. Point it straight to the ceiling. Just one of you. Just one of you. Somebody, one of you turn them off. We got three of them off. Bill, leave yours on. All right, turn it back on, Bill. Look at this. Not totally, not entirely dark in this room. We can still see shadows and images of one another. But suddenly, turn yours on, Charlie. Turn yours on, Thayer or Eunice, one of you all had one. Okay? Yeah. Just a little bit of light is making a difference. Now those of you, the rest of you, get out your cell phones. Get out your cell phones. Unless you get screens all busted up like me, then turn on the flashlight of your cell phone. Everybody in here, turn your cell phone on. Turn your cell phone on. Shine it up to the ceiling. Turn it up to the ceiling. Suddenly light is coming into the room. Suddenly light is overwhelming the darkness. It's being pushed back. Suddenly, all right, Stephanie, quit making the dinosaurs on the ceiling. Suddenly light has entered the room. And I want you to look at this. Nobody's cell phone light is large. None of the little flashlights are very large. But you realize when all these, even though they may be small lights, When we take all of these small lights and we begin to bring them together, and as our eyes adjust, I want you to realize, do you see how much clearer the image is getting in this room as our eyes adjust to the light? Even the smallest of lights, when we begin, if we will just let our little light shine, if we will let our little light shine, do you realize what an impact that we can make in a world full of darkness? Frankie, go ahead and bring them back up and you all can put your cell phones away. Do you realize what a difference that we can make in a world full of darkness? And you may not feel like that your light is very bright. You may not feel like that you have a whole lot to offer. But understand this, when we begin to do our part as believers in the kingdom of God, realizing that we only have so much time, and we begin to let our light shine, our light will illuminate the darkest of worlds. And you have a part, as well as I have a part, to let our light shine in this world. And by doing so, we can, you see, it's in the darkness is when people fall. It's in the darkness when supposedly evil occurs. It's in the darkness, and we're here at this Halloween season, the darkness sort of portrays evil in every way. But listen to me, don't you sell yourself short. Your light may seem very small. It may not seem as big as the one in the back of your cell phone or the little flashlight that you were handed this morning. But understand this, if you will let your light shine for Jesus and you will combine yourself, that is the importance of the church, and you will combine yourself with other people, together we will make a bright impact in a dark world, and we can reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. So don't sell yourself short, because the smallest of light will shine through the darkest night. A friend of mine was in a pastor friend. A number of years ago, he and his wife was in a flood that happened up in Middle Virginia. And as the floods came, and it was a devastating flood, much like the ones that happened up here in West Virginia last year, they had to leave their home in the middle of the night. His wife was expecting their first child. And they had to go to the woods, and it's pouring down rain. Rain like it's literally being poured out of buckets. The power's gone. You know, it's dark. It's dark as can be. And as he and his expectant wife, almost like a story about Joseph and Mary, his wife is getting ready to give birth, and they're wandering across the mountainsides and through the woods, trying to find a place of shelter to get out of the rain. Everything in low-lying areas are flooded out. And they've been wandering for a good while, practically most of the night in the darkness of the woods, trying to escape the ravages of the flood. And suddenly, they see this little light through the darkness. They see a little light. That little light was coming from nothing more than a candle. It was a candle sitting in the window of a house. And this is true. As that candle is sitting in the windowsill of that house, this preacher and his expecting wife, they see the flicker. They don't know how far it is away. They really can't tell. But it's the only thing, it's the only presence of light they saw because of mass power outages. They keep following that light. When they get to that light, they knock on the door of that house, and a little lady comes and answers the door, and that little lady was expecting them. She didn't know them, but yet she expected them. She said, as I was praying for the people that were going through the flood, I tell you what, I don't have any hair on my head, but right now if I did, it would be standing up. But she said, I was praying for the people up and down these valleys that are going through this flood, and as I was praying for the people this flood, the Holy Spirit told me to get up and take a candle and put it in the window on the backside of her house. And this couple that was roaming across the ridgetop, across the top of that mountain, they saw the flicker through the darkest of night. They saw a little flicker of a candle in that lady's wood. And she took them in. and she gave them dry clothes to put on, and she gave them something to eat, and she kept them until the opportunity came that they could leave their house. Listen, they lost everything they had in that flood, including a 55 Chevrolet. They lost everything they had in that flood, their home and everything. They lost everything. But listen to me. But because of somebody living and walking in obedience and being sensitive to the will of God, that took a small candle and just set it up in the windowsill, and that candle flickering in the darkness of night, their lives were no doubt spared. Because, listen, one little bit of light will overcome and will penetrate through all of the darkness. The smart light can be seen for a mile away. Sure, if it's dark. You and I are living in a world of darkness. We live in a time of darkness, and we are called to let our light shine. You say, preacher, my light's been burning pretty dim. I forgot I had a flashlight out in the car I meant to bring in, and I was going to use it because the batteries are almost dead. And, you know, when you turn it on, it doesn't really get bright white. It only sort of glows orange, you know, orangey looking glow. But even as dark as this room was, I could have turned on that dead flashlight and you could have seen it. But you know what? Only thing that flashlight needs is a recharge. And there's some of you that may be sitting in this room this morning. And as you sit in this room this morning, you know, you may be sitting here and you may think, my light has grown dim. My light is just not shining too brightly right now. Let me tell you something. Just like that flashlight out there in the door pocket of my car, all I have to do is screw the top off of it, slap me two new AA batteries in it, and that baby will illuminate like nobody's business. The top can't be screwed off of you and two AA batteries stuck in you, but let me tell you what can happen. You can seek the face of God and you can say, Jesus, I need your Holy Spirit to come into my life and to renew me and revive me and refresh me that I may be illuminating brightly in this darkest of night. Because yes, even though you're burning dimly, you can be seen. But I'm talking about casting a beam. I'm talking about throwing a beam of light into the darkness of life. And the Lord will renew you and He will bless you. And as all of our lights begin to burn together, as all of our lights begin to burn together, we can illuminate Bluefield, Bluewell, McDowell County, Princeton, wherever you may go, wherever you may go, it can be illuminated by Jesus shining through you. By Jesus shining through you. So be renewed. Not by a pink bunny, but be renewed by Jesus Christ. Be renewed by the Holy Spirit. I'd like for you to bow your heads and just close your eyes with me just a moment here this morning. With heads bowed and eyes closed, listen, the first order of business that any of us have to approach in life is this. If you're here and you've never been saved, or if you've gone back on the Lord and your relationship with Him has grown cold, you've separated yourself from God. It's a good time today to rededicate yourself. It's a good time today, if you've never been saved before, it's a good time today to come to know the Lord as your Savior. And suddenly the wick will be lit. The candle will begin to burn. The lantern will begin to glow. Without Jesus in your life, my life was dark and dormant. The only thing that illuminates my life is the Holy Spirit. And He's the only thing that will illuminate your life. So if you're sitting in this room this morning and you're unsaved, Jesus is wanting to illuminate your life. He's wanting to illuminate your life. If you're in this room and you're unsaved, or if you're backslidden on God, and you, just in your heart today, in your mind, you've purposed, I want the Lord to illuminate me. If that's you, would this, you just slip up your hand real quickly. No embarrassment. I just want the Lord to illuminate me. Is there one in this place? Thank you. Are there others? I just want the Lord to illuminate me. To all of the rest of us in this room, maybe you feel like that your light is burning dim. Maybe you just don't feel like it. Maybe you know that. Your prayer life is not what it could be or should be. Your indulgement of the Word of God is very sparse. Maybe even hardly any at all, if at all. Your experience with the family of God, aka the church, this doesn't rank very high in your life anymore. And you know that you're just not, and I have people say this to me all the time. They'll come to me and say, "Preacher, I know I'm just not as close to God as I once was." That old flashlight out there in the door of my car, you know what? Someday I'm going to need that thing. And if I don't go ahead and put some batteries in it when I need it the most, it's not going to do me any good because it's going to be dead. So I need to change the batteries. I need to renew that light while there's still time. Not wait until it's too late. So this morning, if you're here and you're a Christian, you're a believer and you're saved, we're not questioning that, but you know your light is just burning very dim right now. You're at a very low estate. You need a recharge. You need a renewal. If that's you, heads bowed and eyes closed, you just slip up your hand and say, "Pastor, pray for me. I need a recharge." Anybody in this room? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You can lower your hands. Thanks for those hands that went up. Now, if you don't need a recharge, that's good. Let your light shine. So here's what I want you to do. We're going to say goodbye to our Facebook audience and EV Radio audience right now. And thank you guys for joining us today. And we're going to enter into our altar service.